Radio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams.
Good morning. Fitness Empowerment Radio Show. I am your host, Marie Waldrop. We have people listening to us from all over the world, especially Greece, from the Isle of Crete. Thank you all for being here. You can call 347-857-3760 to listen in. And if any time during the show you would like to speak to our special guest with any questions, please press 1 and our host will put you in our producer will put you in the queue to talk to our guest. Let me start by opening in prayer, and then I'll introduce our guest. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. We ask that you watch over all of us that are hurting and in pain, Lord, all those that are sick and afflicted. Lord, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all you do. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Marie. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Yes, I am a personal trainer at a wonderful place called Fitness Together, and it's in Kirkland, Washington, the state of Washington. Rebecca Thompson, hi Rebecca, she is our manager and she's listening, and Pat and Janine Harrison own the studio and they do it right. It's a great place, I love it. I've been a personal trainer for about 15 years. An avid exerciser for my entire adult life. I am 60. I will be 63 in a couple of weeks here, but right now I'm 62, but I've been exercising my whole adult life. I have 4 children and 6 grandchildren, and I do fitness competitions in a natural bodybuilding, the bikini division. So imagine I'm 63 and I'm still in shape to walk on a stage in nothing but a bikini and a really dark tan and 5-inch heels. I just have a lot to say about the aging process and fitness and what exercise can do for anyone and everyone.
Well, that's great because we welcome that. We have listeners from all ages listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really not exclusive to people in my age group, baby boomers or older people. This is something I'd like to reach into the generations before me, my daughter's generations, and even her, her children as well. I have 2 daughters and 2 sons. All of them, because it starts when you're young to develop these habits and to keep your body in shape for that beautiful time in life, which is, your senior years. That's actually the best time in life, but unfortunately, what has now been considered normal aging, the deterioration of the body, comes about, and you're really preoccupied with all of those aches and pains to where the beauty of a mature mind, that is what, you're really having at that age, is kind of taking a second place. And that's really kind of a shame. It's like a huge loss of potential. So I'd like to see that corrected. That's my mission in life, is to spread the fabulous word that beauty, youth, and strength and fitness is not defined by youth. It's defined by how you live your life. I believe that there's something magical about the combination of a mature mind and a fit body that transcends all the concepts of aging and beauty that we currently hold. I just have never bought into the myth that aging is going to lead to a valley of decline. I see life leading up to a crescendo of creativity, and we don't get to experience that if we don't have the fitness and presence of mind to receive it.
And that's true. There's so many people that have never really been taught proper nutrition and exercise. And so I do agree with you on that, because there's so many people that do just focus on their hurts, aches, and pains, and it's due to the lack of taking care of their body when they were younger.
Right, right. I mean, if you're in that state of ache and pain, I mean, there's so much depression that comes along with that it's awfully hard to uplift yourself from that, and it's avoidable. It's you know, something that we have control, much more control over. This day and age does not bring the kind of activity levels that our ancient ancestors were experiencing, and that our bodies have evolved from. We're made of the same tissue that they were, and our bodies are expecting that physical activity to communicate with it. And what we're communicating to it is that, you know, we're in hibernation, you know, all the time, which is completely unnatural to the human body. So I'm actually writing a book on this too. It's called Strong Fit and Strong Fit and Ageless. I hope to have it. I'm hoping to get published. I know that's what everyone wants, but that would be my goal, and hopefully completing this project in spring of 2017. So stay tuned on that, folks, because I have a lot to say.
Well, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible. So what would you recommend to somebody that's just starting in their adult life with exercise?
You know, that's tough, because just getting to the starting line is a whole fitness regime. It could take a year just to get to the point where your body is in a state where now, you know, okay, now my hormonal environment and my, you know, my body gets it, and now I can start working out to the point where I'm actually seeing that progress. But just start the process and believe in the process and suspend judgment and move forward with it, and you'll just simply see it. The body is masterful at healing. It wants to be healthy. The exercise itself is going to provide the wonderful feel-good hormones that we've all heard about, and they're absolutely true. This is part of the human design, and it just will flow. You do have to have that leap of faith, though. I get that. There may also be the need for some physical therapy intervention, or some at least education on that regard. Fitness Together, where I work, has some fabulous, I'm talking about Steve right now, he's fabulous at rehabbing and helping people along that need a little extra care. So a good personal trainer could be another way to go. But basically, you know, just make that decision and know that it will happen. It's not just that it can happen, it just simply will happen. You know, anybody can make this happen. Just start where you are. If walking is your only thing that you feel that you can do right now, then walk. If even that is too hard, then find exercises that are chair related. I've worked in assisted living settings and senior citizen settings. Some classes were large majority were wheelchair bound. There's many exercise protocols that are designed for that level and you can, you know, move forward from there. And it's essential. It's absolutely essential.
And that is all good points to know, because there's so many people that want to just give up whenever they're, you know, they can't get up and move and stuff. So they don't even think about, well, I can do some type of exercise just sitting.
Exactly. And, you know, I have to say, I've committed to competing every year. I don't care how old I am. I'm going to keep myself in a shape that I can compete every year. Every single year, into my 80s and 90s, if that's the case, if God wills, I will do it. And my goal is to set the example that age is not a deterrent, that physical, I mean, I could have been, you know, in a walk or two. I mean, you know, that could have been me, but I kept up the movement. The body will respond to that. You're communicating with your physical body by the movements that you make and the things that you do. And if you communicate movement and growth and expansion, it's going to expand with you. It's going to do it. There's no reason for it to stop doing that until, you know, I mean, obviously our age span, our lifespan is what it is. And then, you know, we say goodbye and all is well. But meanwhile, you know, while we're on this earth, let's live well. We don't want to just, you know, be alive. We want to thrive. That's the human spirit.
Exactly. What kind of, a diet, but what kind of lifestyle, as far as eating, do you hear?
That's huge. Let me just say, many people need to lose a few pounds in order to really get the movement going. I mean, start moving, yes, but once you lose those pounds, your joints are happier. You easily move. You're more lithe. You feel more. You feel more like moving once those pounds have gone away. So your diet is a huge component. As far as my recommendations, I have seen wonderful results myself, my clients, in smaller portions, well, obviously smaller portions, but divided up into 5 or 6 meals in a day. Fairly evenly distributed. I know that doesn't sound doable in a lot of people's lives, but it actually is. I mean, if you really figure out and kind of, I mean, it does take a learning curve and some habit changing, but I bring my little feed bag, I call it. It's got an ice pack in it, and I've got my, you know, my 10 o'clock feeding and my 1 o'clock feeding, and I carry it around with me. And if I'm in my car and I'm, you know, I have to, you know, stop at a Starbucks or something and sit down and have it, then I do. It feels so much better when you have a regular feeding of food and just enough to get you from one feeding to the next, not too much to where you're dragged down and your insulin is kind of going all wonky and you're just tired and lethargic and your day is really kind of chopped up, and if that's the way, you know, your body is being treated. So you want those regular meals that are proportioned in terms of there being protein and carbohydrate, and it's got to be clean. The word clean is being used a lot in nutrition, and it's a very effective description of clean. You look at what it is you're eating and look at the ingredients of what it is you're eating, and you question, are all of these ingredients good? Are they healthy? Are they good for me? And yes, you're thinking, well, I want taste. Well, guess what? I mean, you know, clean food tastes better than the stuff that, you know, the food industry packages up and adds a lot of sugar and salt to and calls a snack. It's, you know, your good clean little meal I eat meat, not a lot, but I do eat chicken. Let's say a breast of chicken and some broccoli and a little kale salad and, you know, possibly a little bit of wild rice or something, you know, a nice lower caloric, but it's extremely flavorful. You can make these things flavorful with, you know, good healthy oils and proper herbs and spices. There's no deprivation there, believe you me. And when you're going from meal to meal in this regular way, by the time you're ready for a meal, boy, you're hungry, let me tell you. And you appreciate that food. Oh, my goodness. Nothing tastes better than a meal after, you know, you've done it that way. the other way, you know, the normal way people do, they just kind of are habitually putting food into their mouth and it's just blah. It's just, you know, there's nothing to it. But when you have this, you know, beautiful, finely tuned metabolism that is just thriving with every molecule of food you put in it, and it's exploding in your body with strength and power, it's just an experience that's, you know, 100 times better than, you know, some of the junk food and the restaurant food that you might be partaking of now.
Right. Do you take any types of vitamin supplements, and would you recommend those to people to take?
You know, I when I am, quote-unquote, in training, I do fitness competitions, and I do, you know, some fitness modeling shoots, too, sometimes. So there'll be some, like, BCAAs, branched-chain amino acids, are a particular certain amino acids that are not created in your body that are very, very highly muscle-building amino acids that many bodybuilders will supplement before and after their workout. I mean, I certainly don't go crazy with it, but it's totally natural. It's nothing in any way like some of the supplements that you might find in some of the health food stores that, you know, if you use them, you couldn't even go and compete in a natural bodybuilding competition, by the way, because we are tested for banned substances. And there are plenty of them out there, even in, you know, legal settings. But the beast, yeah, it's eye-opening when you really realize this. But the BCAAs are completely natural, and they're very helpful to muscle building, so I do that. I also will do a scoop of whey powder every day in some form or another, either in a protein shake or I make my famous protein muffin in the morning. That's, I have my little recipe for protein muffins, which I would be happy to give you if you are so inclined to desire it. But anyway, I do that every day. And I will take a vitamin supplement and fish oil, calcium. It's another one that I'll take. Vitamin D, magnesium. Other than that, you know, I think we're good. If we're eating pretty clean foods and lots of vegetables, well, you know, you're getting quite a bit. I mean, you can take an antioxidant. I'm not saying they're bad. I think antioxidants actually, many of them, if they're, you know, properly formulated, are pretty darn good. You know, so. You know, go for your green tea supplement or your pycnogenol or whatever you choose. But by and large, I'm not a big supplement pusher, but I'm not against it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, when do you work out?
Well, that's a good question. I pretty much, my theory has always been, plan to work out every day because life will intervene in some way or another, and you'll get your day or two off by that formula. I will schedule in time every day for a workout of some kind, and there's, like I say, like, for example, we're moving soon, so things will come up, surprises happen, but if you have scheduled it to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then your Wednesday, your child is sick, or the dog needs to go to the vet or something, and you can't do it, then it kind of, you know, it's a little messy. I like to also not just, you know, try to work out every day, but try to insert smaller little types of, if you want to call it working out, but, you know, the usual walking up the stairs instead of using the escalator. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Or parking your car a little more distance from the building. That's another one. Things like that where you just kind of force yourself to work movement into your environment. That's good. Even when I'm brushing my teeth, I use a Sonicare 2 minutes. I have a little stool in my room that I do step up, and I know that's a little excessive, but that's me. I will just try to work things in wherever I can, but I do schedule a workout every day. If that sounds daunting to people, it can be something as simple as getting up 15 minutes early and doing some whatever you can manage, marching in place, jogging in place, and then maybe getting down and do some planking, and maybe doing, if you can do push-ups, if your shoulders will allow that, or it could be on your knees push-ups, or there's so many things, you know, dips, using a chair, things that you're just doing in the privacy of your bedroom even, you know, just so that you're getting some physical activity in your day, and then maybe as you get better and better at that, you can expand the amount of time that you spend doing that, or go to a gym, or find a class that you enjoy, or tapes on the TV set. Hey, I did that in front of my TV set for, gosh, my kids were babies. I had four of them, and I just kind of entertained them with coloring and allowed them to jump on my bed while I did my little lineup of programs that came on ESPN back in the 80s and 90s and did my little thing at home. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It just has to be something. So, yeah, I work out every day pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who is struggling to lose weight?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I personally feel as though when, you know, you come to that point, that epiphany, it's like, oh, my gosh, I've got to do this. A good thing to do is really shed the light of clarity on what you're currently doing. First of all, know that many, many other people are in your shoes. I've had clients that have lost over 100 pounds. I mean, seriously, it is doable, but many, many people find themselves in your shoes. All you really need to do is make that decision, I'm going to do it, and decide, are you the type that is, you know, just has to drop everything and just do it, or are you the type that needs to phase into it, or find out what works for you, make that decision, and then start doing it. A good way to start is journaling. Start writing down what you're doing in terms of eating. Start there. How do you feel when you eat? What are you? And just be honest. Just as you're eating it, write it down. Just the act of having to write down what you eat very often will make you, you know, hazard to reach for the handful of chips that may right there make you take pause and stop. But by and large, looking at that on a piece of paper and saying, oh, okay, let's see, what am I doing? And then trying to analyze, well, what can I eliminate and substitute, and how can I make, you know, what I do better? And then start looking into, you know, a system of eating and seeing where you can make those changes. So a good journaling, you know, light shedding process is a good place to start. Walking, we all know walking is something we all do. Just start making that your regular habit. You know, like I say, getting up early and doing it in the dawn hours is something that's very spirit lifting. Just the act of putting one foot in front of the other, it's something that, you know, our species has done since ancient times, and it's very primal and fundamental, and it can, you know, stimulate those feel good chemicals throughout your body and make you want to do more, and start where you are. Wherever you are, just start and just know that you absolutely can do it. Yeah, I know it's hard, though.
Well, I wanted to ask if we have any listeners that would like to ask you any questions, and if you do, please press 1. Oh, we got about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm better. I to press 1.
Actually, we do. Marie, we have Connie on the phone.
Okay. Hi, Miss Connie.
Hi, how are you both doing?
I'm good.
I'm doing fine, Connie. How are you?
I'm doing good, but my question is, I have a chronic back problem, and I am exercising. However, you said it might take – I started exercising again in July. So Do you think it's a possibility if I just keep up my routine that maybe after a year my back will be in better shape? The doctors told me to build up my core. So
Okay. So is your routine something, did you say you were going to a gym and doing a routine on your own, or what type of routine, what's included in your routine?
I join Curves, and I'm going about 4 times a week.
Okay. I've not gone to Curves myself. I'm not sure what their routine, I think they're machine-based.
It's interval training. So
interval training.
Mm-hmm. You're on the machine, and you don't have to change weights. It's on you on how fast, how much you want to put into it. Then the machine causes more resistance. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course, yes.
That type of machine, I don't know exactly what to call it. Is it hydraulic maybe or something?
Oh, okay. I think I know.
And
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, in between you're doing different movements like mountain climber or running in place or whatever for the cardio. So
gotcha.
That for 30 minutes, and then afterwards you go to a piece of equipment and you're stretching on the equipment.
Gotcha. I would say machines are great for certain things. I limit my use of machines. And the reason, I mean, continue what you're doing. I'm not saying don't do that. But I would include more functional movements, movements that are similar to your daily life, like chops and you know, lunge and punch and multi-plane movements, and movements that get into your core. When you're seated on a machine, the machine is pretty much supporting you and keeping you stable. Whereas when you are standing up, let's just say, well, your pelvic floor has to support the act of standing. Standing is much superior than sitting, if you can do that. Regarding your back, yes, your core is incredibly important to the health of your back. The position of your pelvis is also something you might want to take a look at. You want your pelvis to be in quote-unquote neutral. And I would define that as the neutral spine, the neutral pelvis, is where both hip bones and the pubic bone are in a level position. That's something that you would ascertain in the privacy of your own bathroom mirror in your underwear to really kind of get a sense as to where, how you're holding your core, your hip. Once you've ascertained that, then you want to hold it in place by pulling the belly button into the spine. Now, if you've ever heard that term, I'm not sure if you have. What that means is that you are actually, as you pull the belly button in, it's similar to if you were coughing or sneezing, that kind of pull-in feeling. You make a nice hard drum out of your tummy by using that muscle that's involved in pulling the belly button into the core. That's a muscle that actually is deep enough in the abdominal complex to communicate with all these deep little core muscles. So just the act of pulling the belly button inward helps to keep the pelvis in neutral. Therefore, the back is not being pulled upon, and you're activating core muscles. So I would add into your routine, perhaps at home, or I don't know if you can do it there at Curves, some planks and just pelvic tilt exercises that are getting into your core.
I don't know all the terms like you do. What are planks?
Okay.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Yeah. Planks are, let's say you're doing a push-up. You know what a push-up position is.
That is
before you go down and bring your chest to the floor, you're in a plank. That's a plank right there. A lot of people have a hard time doing that position. So you can get into a push-up position, then drop your knees to the floor. That eliminates some of the weight off of your shoulders, and because sometimes that's just a little bit too much for people. Now, here's what you want to make sure of, is that you've got a slight pelvic tilt, meaning your back is not excessively arched, like your tummy dropping to the floor. You want to make sure that belly button to spine is in place so that your back is not excessively arched. Otherwise, you're not getting as much benefits from the plank, and you may be putting stress on the low back. So that pelvic tilt in putting your spine in that neutral position is really, really important while doing a plank. Planks can be done on a countertop, or if that's the angle that is your level, or it can be done on the floor. The deeper the angle, the more of your own body weight your body has to sustain. So just kind of keep that in mind and find your level. Do that plank, start with 10 seconds, then increase it to 15 seconds, and so on and so forth, and you'll get stronger, and then pretty soon you can do it without being on your knees, or, progress from that point. But start wherever you are, wherever you can do it, start there. That's the key.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you both. That was great information, and we're out of time.
Okay. Yes. Well, it's been a pleasure, Marie.
It goes by really, really fast.
Yeah. This has been really, really fun. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah. Well we've enjoyed you being on the show today. And could you tell people how to get a hold of you?
Yeah. I am in the process of creating my website. It's soon to be launched. It is www.strongfitandageless.com. Strong, Fit, and Ageless, just in case you didn't catch what I said. That's the name of my book, by the way. I'm on Facebook and Twitter also. I have a blog, which can be reached at jeanniebrownfitness.com. And my email is also jeanniebrownfitness@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm closing in prayer. And again, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Marie.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the information that we've heard here today. We thank you for all the listeners that have come to listen. Lord, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all you do. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
ForRadio.com.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
He says, if I leave, he will kill me.
He was sobbing and swore it would never happen again.
He's under so much stress. I'm really the only one who understands him.
He says he can't live without me.
I have nowhere else to go.
Nobody would believe me. If you are in an abusive relationship, it often feels as though you've lost your voice. You deserve a better life, and there is help.
Call 1-800-799-SAFE or go to thehotline.org.
Let your voice be.
Cheese Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls is proud to have as our charity of choice Man Up Crusade. Man Up is working in the Western world to reduce domestic violence in society and contribute to social change by promoting safe and healthy relationships. Growing up in a violent home is one of the most terrifying and traumatic experiences a child can go through. Let's work together to help those afflicted to stand and know they're not alone. Find out more at manupcrusade.com. Take a stand and break the cycle of domestic violence.
ForRadio.com.